Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, alongside Steve Harmison, looking back at another incredible day's play for good and bad reasons, really, at Lords, day four between England and India in the second Test match. You're listening to Following On. Okay, then. So, if you're listening to the podcast, you probably know by now that, it's all still there to play for both sides, really. All four results possible on day five. That's kind of what you want, I suppose. But it was a weird old day. It started with such excitement. Mark Wood bowling rockets, really, given the new ball after two overs of Ollie Robinson there, getting rid of Rahul with a beautiful delivery that left the right-hander was caught behind, and then tempting the ego of Rohit Sharma, Moeen Ali with a great tumbling catch in the deep. And at 27 for two, so at half an hour, effectively naught for two, it was absolutely game on. Virat Kohli came in and wanted to get bat on ball and did so. Got his way to 20 before edging behind just before lunch. Absolutely game on with two scratchy batsmen at the crease. And then everything just stopped for a whole session. And essentially, Pujara and Rahane put on 100 in three balls shy of 50 overs. And if that didn't suck the life out of the game, well, thank heavens for Mark Wood, because he came back, he got rid of Pujara, Rahane followed soon after, and Ali, his second wicket of Jadeja, an absolute beauty, means that, the match is alive as we head to the final day. Pant and Sharma at the crease, but do England have an injury concern surrounding Mark Wood? Plenty to discuss on the show. You're listening to Following On.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, where do we start? Well, let's start off with your prediction, because you predicted correctly for the third day in a row. It is ridiculous. Mark Wood was the difference at the start and at the end, but you didn't predict an injury. And I've got, I'm guessing you haven't heard from him, but you've got to worry for his participation on day five. Hopefully he's not needed. And of course, there'll be a slight concern about the Headingley test, which thankfully is a week away. But was a bit of a worry. He fell over basically fielding, didn't he?
Yeah, he fell over fielding. I think he's all right. You know, I've not had any contact with him. I've had a couple of messages off him in the last couple of days after the end of play. And he might come back to me later. He might send me a message later on. But I think he's all right. I think the reason why he stayed off was because if you read the lips and when he first came on, I think he came on just to make sure he could bowl from a time difference in the head being off. But I think Joe Root said to the umpire when he's pointing at his shoulder, "Is this like an impact injury?" Because he did it during the game, and I think the umpire nodded, and that's why Mark went back off, because he can bowl anytime, so he didn't have to be on the field. So impact injuries is a difference to, I think, like muscle injuries or anything like that. I think if it's an impact, you can bowl from whenever you want. So I think from that point of view, it was a waste of time coming on because he wasn't going to bowl because it was dark and the spinners were on. So from that that point of view, I think he's all right. I think he'd be fine in the morning, and I think he'd be able to go again, especially with a chance of winning a test match. So he was brilliant. It was a masterstroke by Joe, first and foremost. Chuck him the ball after two overs from one end. Ollie Robinson had it. And then any indecision. I keep saying any indecision with people who don't move their feet that much, that well, early in their innings, you need pace. And that's what Mark Wood gives you. Anything around off stump. And Kier Rahul has looked brilliant for, you know, three innings now. And that's what we've seen. We've seen a little bit of indecision, cleared away from his body. When someone like Mark Wood, Simon Jones, Darren Goff, bowl from the nursery end, because the skiddy trajectory and their pace, the ball looks as though you have to play it because, you know, Mark jumped slightly wider than the crease. Goffy was something similar. Simon was a bit closer to the stumps. But because of the angle and the arc of the ball is coming at you, you feel as though it's like an optical illusion. You feel as though you've got to play at it. And then all of a sudden it just goes with the slope. And it goes down with a slow, but because it's such skiddy, it's quick and it's skiddy and it's 90-odd mile an hour, you're twitching at it, and you don't really want to go at it as a batsman. And a couple of times then, Kier Rahul nicked it. All of a sudden, they just said rolling, and, you know, Rohit Sharma won't want to see what he did again, because Dom Sibley ran past him. I couldn't stop laughing. Dom Sibley ran past him from backward point to go out to square leg in front because they already had two men out. So it was basically saying, and I thought it was great management from Joe. Right, you go past him. Yeah, this is what we're going to do to you. You want to hook it. Yeah, you've had a go for six. You ducked under the next one, which is a good ball, good height. And, yeah, this time it was a bit more left ear-ish. When you bowl a bouncer at somebody's left ear, there's less control. And I thought it was a great catch by Moeen Ali. And I thought, here we go. We've got a chance of a day off tomorrow. We're gonna get a day off. And then that middle session, I must admit, I had me TV with the cricket on, obviously because I'm working for something else as well. So I had to keep an eye on the cricket. I had my iPad with a football on with Newcastle United and West Ham. And I'm not sure which one I switched off first because, you know, the cricket was sending me to sleep and the football was sending me to drink. So it was like, wow, what is going on with my Sunday? But again, it was a great finishing day. And I'm over the moon, not just for Mark, but I'm really, really pleased for Moeen Ali because I thought he was magnificent today.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. I must admit, I felt exactly the same when Sam Curran took Virat Kohli's wicket just before the lunch break. I thought, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. And the way that England reacted as well, I think they felt that a bit. And you know what? Maybe that paid a little bit of a price because it did seem to be a little bit sedate start to that afternoon session. But credit to Pujara and also Rahane. They have played similar innings in recent times. Pujara certainly against Australia. They batted out a draw, didn't they, SCG. Rahane, of course, was captaining then. And they're two experienced pros. And, of course, they're also playing for them for their own careers. But, yeah, I mean, I was like you. I was watching the cricket. I mean, that's essentially what I'm paid to do. I was listening to Talk Sport. I was watching. First, I was watching Newcastle versus West Ham. And then I was watching Tottenham versus Manchester City. And on my phone, I had West Indies versus Pakistan. I mean, I was basically watching and chatting to my wife on the phone, just doing everything but watch the cricket. It was torturous.
It was torturous.
I mean, 100 runs. At one point, one of the guys from Sony leaned over and he said, I swear, an Indian batsman scored 100 runs in a session before. They haven't scored 100 runs in two sessions as a team. And he was just about right. And then, of course, after tea, just when you start to think then, well, how is this game going to go? You know, they're scoring so slowly. You know, they might be 150 ahead at stumps, and then what, they'd bat till lunch tomorrow. They won't want to give England more than 250. And I mean, it would look like we were being set up for a horrible, horrible day five, and we may still get a horrible day five. And then the man of the moment came back, Mark Wood, and he's a difference, isn't he? You've said it so many times, having raw pace, one reared up off a length, Pujara was caught, and then the other guy, There's three guys. I'm so happy. Four guys. Forget Joe Root for a second, though. There's three guys who I think have been messed around by England over the last couple of years. Mark Wood and Johnny Bairstow and Moeen Ali. None of them have got a test contract. Mm. Now, Ali hasn't played for 2 years at home. So, okay, kind of fair enough. This is Bairstow's sixth test since September and Wood's fifth. They haven't got test contracts. And who are the guys that have come and supported the two best players in the team, Anderson and Root? It's Moeen Ali and Johnny Bairstow. Let's forget that Bairstow dropped Rahane on 31 for a second. But Moeen Ali, he's got two huge wickets. And that dismissal of Jadeja was an absolute beauty.
Yeah, I'm hearing you and I'm with you. And the test contract stuff baffles me a little bit, whether it's a financial thing from the ECB or not. But I look at it and Mark Wood's the same. Not having a test contract for me is a disgrace, because you've got to have a fast bowler, whether you pick him or not. That's not his fault. That's your choice to not pick him. Now, you drag him around, and I remember a lot of years ago, I retired from one-day cricket because I was getting dragged from place to place to place, thrown out whenever they needed a little bit of it, and then put back in the shed. And I thought, you know what? I was sick of travelling. I was sick of going around the world. And now, you know, and you got rewarded for it because you got a top-man contract. I look at Mark's situation, I look at Moeen's situation and Johnny's situation. They haven't got a contract, but they're still there. They're still with the team. You know, Moeen had a struggle because he got COVID because he was in with Chris Wokes. And it annoys me that you're not giving them contracts and then you'll go back to them when you want, oh, we're going for an experienced man. It's like, hold on, if he was an experienced man, you would have given him a contract, you'd have backed your experienced man. And I know, form, they haven't performed that well. That's why they found themselves out of the team. But if you're not going to move on from them, you have to reward them and you have to make them feel comfortable. And I agree, they've been messed about, all three of them. And when I look at the way they've performed in this test match, they've been the difference between winning and losing if you take Joe Root out of it, because of all three of them have performed when needed, when required, when asked, because no Ben Stokes. And you've got to stand up and be counted. So for me, yes, I think the ECB need to have another look at this. And I've said this many times before. When you've got somebody like Mark Wood and you say, oh, he's got an injury track record and you don't know when to play him and you've got other fast bowlers out and you're not sure if this suits him because you need to protect him. That's not Mark Wood's. That not selecting him is not his fault. You're saying he's played five games. He has played five games. But what I would argue if I was Mark Wood to the selection panel is I've been up for selection. I have been selection. You just not selected me. But every now and again, when you need a little bit of firepower or a batsman starts getting on top of you, you just roll me back out. I'll go and rough people up and then you bring somebody else in. Now, where do I stand on that front? I wouldn't have had no problem with Bairstow, Ali and Mark Wood. I'd just gone, right, fair enough. I've got to go play one day cricket. I'm off. See you later. Get on with the test matches. Yeah, I know the likes of KP or somebody like that, whereas that sort of strong mind would have just gone, right, you keep it. I'm going to go and play franchise cricket around the world. I'll play one day cricket for you and I'll pop back in. If that was the case, England wouldn't be nowhere near in this test match. And that, for me, is why these guys are special. And they performed brilliant today. And what Mark did at the end to get Pujara was a great ball. And what Moeen Ali did to get Jadeja, that was a phenomenal cricket ball. Dismissal. It was I can't speak any higher than that. It was a perfect dismissal of what you want on a day four when you're trying to get something to happen against the top player. And he might bat number seven, but Jadeja's still a good player. So, and I haven't even touched on the Pujara Rahane one because I was asleep for most of it. It was boring, and I've tried to erase it from my memory. I've just thought, well, it's rained. It's rained for 4 hours because, to be fair, if it had rained for 4 hours, India would be somewhere close to the similar position. So, yeah, man, it was torture.
Lol of the day.
Okay, well, look, we're going to have to talk about the Rahane Pujara innings, but we're doing it in laugh out loud moment of the day because whilst you were sleeping, what you may have missed is the reaction that Pujara was getting. Now, today's crowd at Lord's was I would say at least 50-50 Indian to English fans.
Yeah.
And of course, Indian fans make a lot more noise than the England fans, especially at Bloody Lords. So anyway, Pujara comes in, takes 35 balls to get off the mark. Now, when I was a kid, one of my most enduring memories of watching England cricket was Pat Pocock. Now, during the 80s, no Surrey players were playing for England. It wasn't like the 90s, you know, when every Surrey player was playing for England. So Pat Pocock was called out of retirement, essentially, to face the West Indies, the great West Indies side. And he's a number 11 batsman, and he played two tests, and I don't think he scored a run. Well, he didn't score a run, right? So fast forward to a game, and he's playing against Sri Lanka. And he goes into bat, and Alan Lamb, I think, is on 92 or something. So Pocock's got to stick around so Lamb can get his century. Anyway, he gets a single, and it's the first run he scored all summer. And when he gets to the umpire and gets his single, the whole crowd cheer. And Pat Pocock, who's a bit of a character and still is, he raised his bat to like... And there's Alan Lamb at the other end, who's like supposed to get 100. And then Alan Lamb comes over and they touch gloves and everything. And like for a kid, I was about 8 years old. That was brilliant. I mean, I'm still talking about it now, like 4 years later. So today on the 36th delivery, Pujara finally gets off the mark and gets a run and the crowd go mad. And then they do the same thing again. So he goes, and of course, like nobody knows what's going on. He's on nine. And then to this 86th ball, he gets into double figures. And again, the crowd start going mad. And then when he reached a century of deliveries, it was like he'd reached 100 runs. So it was great. I mean, the crowd today were fantastic. And I mean, I know we were falling asleep, but it was actually quite gripping cricket.
Yeah.
Because there was so much jeopardy attached to either of those two getting out. But, yeah, as you say, I mean, what, 40? I worked out, there was like, what was it, 47 runs in 28 overs in the afternoon session. And to be honest with you, that's more runs than were scored in the afternoon session on day two. So this test match will not live long in my memory, that's for sure.
No, it won't. And I'm just looking at it, in my notes as well, it was, it was 49 off the 28 overs middle session, and then it drinks in the last session, 9 overs and 15 runs. And I was like, it didn't get much better. But I think a lot of plaudits have to go to the way England bowled as well. I thought England bowled brilliantly at the two of them, never let them get away. In the back of my mind, I was like, I'm going to wake up in a minute, and when Pant comes in, the game's going to go into fast forward naturally anyway. So that was always going to be the case.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
I keep going back to times when I played in that Adelaide Test match when we got 500 and plenty in the first innings. Collingwood got 200 and KP got 150. And then second innings, we batted an awful long time for not very many runs, dug ourselves into a ridiculous hole. And Warney came on, bowled us out. And then I think we ended up chasing 165 or something to win the game. There was plenty of time left because of second new ball and Warney did the damage once he got through that sort of middle section of ours. So I just wonder if that's going to happen again tomorrow for England, that because that partnership and England bowled well, Rahane and Pujara didn't go anywhere. If England can knock India over with a second new ball, let's say inside the first 10, 12 overs, because it could happen because of the tail that India have got, all of a sudden, you know, 170, 180, I think it's a comfortable, easy get for England on a surface which has not really done that much, spun a little bit of low bounce. I think England would be massively a favourite for that.
Well, you've got three predictions out of three so far. So let's see if you get four out of four. Following on podcast, we'll be back following day five at Lords, come what may, to see whether A, India somehow win. I'd say that's the least likely of the results, apart from a tie. A draw, I would suggest, is favourite, with an England win second favourite. So let's see if Palmy does confound the odds here on Following On.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.